Turn your attention to the Word of God this evening in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 is what we have. There we read, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." The sin of idolatry is our subject this evening. Now, 18 of the 23 parables Jesus spoke in Luke are only found in Luke's gospel, nowhere else. One of them is here that we are looking at, and it relates to the sin of covetousness and idolatry. At times, a verse of scripture, I've said this many times, in a chapter may appear as though it has no connection to what is taught in the context of the chapter. And this may happen to you in your reading, but when carefully analyzing the context of the chapter, that verse has everything to do with the subject of the chapter. Don't get discouraged. Sometimes you may read off-the-wall verse or statement, and you say, this doesn't have anything to do with the context. It does. You just have to study it, maybe go back a few verses, or go forward, and you will see. Verse 13 is a classic example of what I'm saying. The man in the gathering who made this request to Jesus answers to what Jesus was warning his hearers about. He was warning them about the sin of covetousness and idolatry. And up steps this man to the Lord. "Lord, talk to my brother that he divide his inheritance." Because Jesus knew his heart. You don't have that luxury, but the Lord knew his heart. The church today is the least expected place where you should find idolatry. But idolatry flourishes in the church, in the lives of many professing Christians. Don't forget that idolatry was the downfall of Adam and Eve. They saw, they wanted, they fell. Don't forget that idolatry was the downfall of the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians tells us that. "Let him that think he stands take heed lest he fall." Don't forget, idolatry was the downfall of the monarchy in the book of Kings. It flourished in the monarchy. Paul in Colossians 3, 5 and 6 give a comprehensive description of idolatry and commands us in the new covenant era, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." So by and large, all of us are idolaters or were idolaters. I just quoted from the New King James Version. Here in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Jesus began by calling attention to the leaven or the doctrine or the teaching of the scribes and the Pharisees, what they taught others. The scribes and the Pharisees taught the scriptures, but they were known to be covetous. In Luke chapter 12, and I'm following the context to show you what I meant when I tell you that verse 13 fits the context. In verse 12 of Luke chapter 12, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. In other words, they were hypocrites. They were teaching one thing and they were doing the next. They were idolaters. And the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, be careful of the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees. They were known to be covetous. They loved this world and the things therein more than they loved God. Let me read to you in Luke 16. Turn there with me, verses 13 and 14. Where we read over there in Luke 16, 13 and 14. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. In other words, the Pharisees took offense to these words. You know, at times it is the truth that hurt people when you say the truth to them. They took offense because they were characterized by God as covetous. All men by nature are this way. Now, I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Heimer said many years ago when he came here, and he said West Indians are covetous, and it created a big problem in our church. Some of you were even here, and a bunch of West Indians don't like the idea of a man from the South calling them that name, you know. And I guess some of you may have remembered that. It didn't bother me, because what he was saying was correct. It didn't bother me the least. He was true. But he said it the wrong place, in the church, by calling the people idolaters. But I have you to remember that the very first commandment in the Decalogue is not to place any god before God. God started his commandments, you shall not have any gods before me. Because he knows what is mostly priority. This individual in Luke chapter 12 verse 13 fits the context perfectly. And very interesting, he was among the congregation. He was among those listening to Jesus, but his mind was set on the things of this world, like so many people who are in the church today. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now this guy flatly misunderstood the purpose of our Lord's ministry. The Lord didn't come here to settle the score. He came here to die for sinners. And some people have a carnal view of the ministry of Jesus. Now, when you read all 59 verses of Luke 12, one message is prevalent. The message is the contrasting value of the spiritual over the material. Listen to verses 4 through 7 of Luke 12. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yeah, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. He heard these things, and yet he is coming, asking the Lord to settle the score. So you see how the context fit? This man is a perfect example of us in the church. You know, the more I speak to people and at times close relatives about the world and the lust for things in the world, the more they show their lust for things in the world, the more they reveal themselves to be idolaters. And some of them are close to me. And I chided many, many, many times just recently with my sister. Chided with her for what I was seeing and hearing. But this message was prepared before. Actually, it ain't got nothing to do with what happened. So, it's apparent from the context that this man that came to Jesus did not see the value of his soul. Again, in verses 23, drop down, and 24, the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, which they thought, can add to his stature one cubit? The ravens not only get food, they have sufficient food to feed Elijah. You may remember that. And here, this man is worried about his property. The Lord says, verse 33 and verse 34, the same context. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, so true, there will your heart be also. You see that piece of real estate you got down there in St. Lucia? Or maybe Barbados or Grenada? That's where your heart is. Be careful that you are not branded as covetous and idolatrous. Be careful. It is serious. This text does not mean that a person is to wholesale sell their belongings. It will be madness. A few years ago, when people heard that the world was about to end, sell their property, and up to today they are left scrambling. They weren't wise. Ultimately, they were following a man, and they weren't wise. But this is a Christian principle. What we treasure most is what we will worship. So I said all of this to show you that the request this man brought to Jesus fits the context perfectly. Statements or questions in the Bible are not spoken randomly or arbitrarily. They're deliberate, and they have everything to do with the context. If you are a Bible student, you should know that. The Lord responded to this man's request by showing us the following. One, he gives a spiritual principle. Verses 14 and 15. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? The question was personal in the light of the request made, but it is a general question for us to face. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? It is a rhetorical question. We are all from Adam. We are man. We are men, generically. We belong to mankind. God has made Jesus to be judge and divider over us, all men. So you see, the statement Jesus made is a general one. He's not saying to this man, Man, who made me a judge and a ruler over you? No, that's not what he's saying. He's making a general statement. Man, answer the question, who made me a judge and a ruler over you? God. They made Jesus, according to Acts 17:31. God has made him the judge and the ruler over us. So remember that. Understand this. God has ordained Jesus to judge the world in righteousness. And this is the point that the Lord is bringing to this man. I'm the judge. I'm the ruler. I'm the ultimate divider over you. You were making a big deal about an inheritance. At the end of the day, I am your judge. I am the divider. You got it? Good. So let's move on. He will divide the wheat from the tares. He will divide the sheep from the goats. The Lord brought this truth to this man's conscience. The question, as I said, is a rhetorical one. God has made Christ Jesus the judge and the divider over all men. You fight for what you want, brethren. Get all involved with this world, but ultimately it is God who decides. So remember, that is a principle, a spiritual principle taught. Verse 15 warns, take heed and beware of covetousness. You see, the Lord is going on in his teaching. He turns now to the multitude, to the disciples. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of things which he possesses. I often marvel at the genius of the Lord's teaching. If you study the sermons and the words of the Lord Jesus, you will grasp a lot of wisdom in how to teach and how to preach. Beware of other things creeping into your lives that takes away from that which is most important, your soul. And it is very hard. It is easier for me to say than for us to do it. Life is not measured by things. 1 Corinthians 7:29 to 31. This I say, brethren, time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives, as though they had none, and they that weep, as though they wept not, and they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not, and they that buy, as though they possess not, and they that use this world, as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Paul instructed the Corinthians with these words. Famous theologian Augustine said, and I quote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Luke 12:14-15 is a spiritual principle that few will understand. The wise Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain or to keep the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." The wise preacher. So then, this is our first heading, spiritual principle taught. God is the judge and the divider over all flesh. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Second head, practical example, 16 through 19. The Lord takes 7 verses to give a practical example of what he was teaching about idolatry and covetousness. You give a principle, now you give an example. He said in verse 16, "Spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." God had given his people counsel about success in business. This man's ground brought forth plentifully. Did he thought about God? Did the context say that? Well, read it carefully. Now, Deuteronomy 8:10-11 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, Then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee that brought forth. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Did this certain man follow the Lord? No, he didn't. He followed himself because his land was his God. Look at verse 17. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. The goods he earned were his own. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. I'm sorry for you if you're one who never has to give to God's word. I'm sorry if you're one of those people. I believe a lot of our people have learned, but I also believe a lot of them are still chinky. I don't check anything. But I believe that a lot of our people do not systematically and substantially support the ministry. If you're like that, you're like this man. The goods he earned were his own. Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 3 says the opposite. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, thy ground, that the Lord thy God give you, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers to give us. You see what this man should have done? Should have identified the priest and let the priest know, this is what I have. When I was growing up, a little boy, you know, every year there used to be harvest. I don't know if you grew up in the Anglican church, Brother Depot. And as poor as we were, my mom used to give me 2 eggs. And I would have to carry these 2 eggs to the Anglican church and put them there. I didn't want to go back for my 2 eggs. Because the priest would sell them. But that principle was taught to us. Well, other people used to give other things, but this is the same principle. This says, this is mine. It's just like the guy that had the 2 quarters, one for collection, one for sweets. One of the quarters dropped and went into the gutter. He says, oh, collection money lost. And this is how we are by nature. Many may not say what this man said, but many in their mind of reasoning think like this man who worshiped worldly goods. Worship them. Some may be blessed with property. Others may be blessed with a small fortune. Are these things used to the glory of God? Then they're idols. As poor as we are, we can find a way to be idolaters. Be careful. Verse 18 and 19 continues. A practical example of idolatry. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater. Here will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, he's feeding his soul with earthly things. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Easy living, like the pig was stolen by the mule. Easy living in long life. The mule pulled heavy loads every day. The pig eat and sleep. But he slaughtered very quickly. The practical example is also prevalent today in the church. No consideration is given to the Bible. Men in our day is looking out for themselves. Take this matter of accepting positions in the workplace on the Lord's day. Take this matter in our church into consideration. There are jobs of necessity that we may not be able to avoid, like medical positions, law enforcement, firemen, or other jobs. But other positions that many take are never prayerfully considered. We just assume the job is for the taking, and we take it. Never look at the Lord's day. Let me say that this too has become your idol in here. People are more prepared and apt to be ready for work than they are for worship. And I've seen it here all the time. What happened? Oh, I have to work. I got to work. I got to sleep because I got to work. Idolatry. Listen carefully. God sees idolatry. Terrible idolatry in the church. There's no longer any Christian values in our church today. None whatsoever. And those who stand on them is looked upon as legalistic and narrow-minded. Many of us are second and third generation immigrants. That's what we are. Don't ever forget it. We are immigrants. Just look at our skin color. And we are being sucked in to an idolatrous culture right here in America. I worked in my lifetime at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center for almost 20 years. I was a layman. I couldn't attend prayer meeting. And Brother Depper, you should remember that, because I used to designate you and Rodney to do the lessons. Way back, I was a layman. It didn't last long because I was praying. The first year on the job, my supervisor favored me somewhat, Lucille Green from Charleston, South Carolina. She somehow liked me, but I know who it was that liked me, not Lucille Green. Other employees used to poke fun at me, call me Joseph. When everyone was working one Sunday a month, Brother Mason, I was working every two. She used to favor me. She knew that I was a believer. So she used to favor me and give me extra. And Marcel knows that. She knows that. I'm not saying that it was right, but it was the Lord's doing. You see what happened? The Lord knew where my heart was. God gives each person what they want. Always remember that. God will give you your desire, what you want. The children of Israel wanted meat. God gives them meat. The Bible says before the fattest one could chew it, God struck them down. Be careful with idolatry. I'm serious. We are losing our families to idolatry. And some of you better be careful that you don't put things before God. He sees. It's a terrible sin. I give you that example. I didn't want to talk about it, but it is a living example of how God gives each person what they want. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask to consume it upon your lust. This is a serious matter this evening that we're dealing with. Idolatry, placing things ahead of God. So much for the practical example given. Third principle that we see taught by Jesus, number three, is life great uncertainties, verse 20 and 21. Life's great uncertainties. Verse 20 says, "But God said to him, Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You see how God is repeating what he taught in verse 14, "Who made me a judge and a divider over you?" Here it is. "Fool, this night I'm going to take those things from you." So you see how the context fits perfectly, Loretta? I hope you're following me and you're not sleeping. All of his earthly plans, all of his earthly goals, all of his earthly goods came to a halt. Finish. That's it. God has the right to call someone a fool. The fool has said in his heart, "No God." Not "there's no God." The fool has said in his heart, "No to God. You're not getting my stuff. I'm in charge." Life has many uncertainties. Today we are well. Tomorrow we are either laid up or dead. That's life. We have our plans. We exclude God, but he is the divider and the overseer. Today we are well, tomorrow, brethren, and I know this for a fact. My day is coming, maybe sooner than I think. I would like to be right with God and not have any idol in my pathway. The Lord Jesus is making an application to verse 14. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Apparently, this one was not made wise to salvation in the parable, but he fits the man that came to Jesus and asked to divide this inheritance. That is why this man in the parable spoke in the way he did, because he was a fool. And this is the language of some people. "I'm going to get that degree. By hook or by crook, I must finish it. I must get that job. I must get that promotion. I must have it." God is totally out the picture. Church and space for church, out. Be careful, Christian. Be careful. You can't fool God. Apparently, this one wasn't made wise to salvation. And that is why he planned in the manner he did. He was foolish. Another thing the Lord said was in this parable, "This night your soul shall be required." This tells me that he lived in darkness. He was not a child of the day. He was a child of the night. He was a lost man. And that's why the Lord said, "This night you're living in darkness. You haven't seen the light. You die in the dark." Brethren, don't be like this. That's why I tell you the Lord Jesus is the perfect teacher. And when you exegete his words, you see the gospel beautifully leaking out. He was not translated from darkness to light. He lived in the night. He died in the night. The Lord also asks an unanswerable question. "Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" He had no answer to that question. And literally true. We plan and we build and we go. And somebody takes our property that we guarded And I said, bush grows up through the houses. Pitiful. That we want protected. I carry Marcel to show her a house. And she don't like when I do these things. But it is a spiritual reminder. I carry her wrong heart scam. I said, let's look at this house. The house has fallen down flat. The man who once lived in the house is gone, and his house now, Brother Curtis, is, you know, those, what do you call them, chapel houses? The house is actually flat down over 2 years. Nobody look at the house anymore. Pitiful. This is what's going to happen to you and to your belongings. We don't know who is going to clean up behind us. We plan and say who get what. This is for this one. This is for the next one. But ultimately, Christ is the final judge. He is the divider. He is the moth that eats up our belonging. Lay not treasure in heaven where thieves and moth corrupt. He is the moth. He is the thief that comes upon us. Eats up our stuff. We use our earthly goods for ourselves, never considering the glory of God. And at the end of the day, he divides. And I'm weary of some of the older ones in our church. Ever so often, they're mad behind some piece of property. Forget God. Here! Not there, here. Idolatry. Decent idolaters. The Moabites and the Hittites and the Jebusites take that which we had stored up. And there are many empty houses in our villages, as I was telling you about. Because people only live for a certain time. And sometimes their property outlives them. And God divides it to the Moabites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Hittites. Remember what God did with that land in Canaan, Brother Curtis? He divided it with his people. Take it from them. Be careful. Invest your time. Invest your resources wisely before these things happen. The sin of idolatry has come upon many in this church, where many have become their own God. Let us be careful in calling the name of Jesus. Let us be careful on calling ourselves Christians. Let us be careful that we don't have another God or other gods beside him. The Lord gives the stark warning in verse 15. He said unto them, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists of not in the abundance of the things, whether it be education, whether it be property, whether it be possessions, whether it be children and family." Remember, don't put these things before God. Our Lord hits the nail on the head. He knew what man's problems are. And he zeroed in. He took the opportunity when this guy came to him. And he teaches us a lesson on idolatry and covetousness. I just explained it to you. Unpreparedness is a terrible thing. Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It shows that death can sneak up on us unawares. And sometimes we get so occupied with getting well, getting better, that we have no more time to think about God. Because we are occupied, when are you going to get better? We should pray for Brother Charlie and his family. And that's why I said this morning, at times when a man gets struck down, his wife follows suit. You don't know what she's made of. And I say no more. And sometimes I worried about our wives, men or husbands, who seem to have a strict hand or a strict rein on their wives, are not around. You don't see them. I worry about that. I'm sure that if the Lord take me, I am sure that my wife will be right there in her place. I mean, don't embarrass me now. Because she was taught not to monkey around with the things of God. Jackie. Look at Jackie. I don't want to bring you up. Look at her. With all of her issues. Look at her. Let her serve as an example to you. And I'm talking to you tonight, but I'm serious, dead serious. Idolatry. Right here in this church. Don't put things before God. Don't put your children before God. You're foolish. Unpreparedness. This night is immediate. The Lord didn't say tomorrow. Tonight. This is because tomorrow is not promised to any one of us. This night, your soul is required. Ponder these things in the gospel. Go away with them. Brother Devil, go home with them. Meditate on them. Think about them. Don't put anyone before your Savior. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we give you thanks for this stern warning to me, Lord. Pray, Lord, that foremost on my mind would be the Lord Jesus, the things of God, and the souls of men. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you help our people to stop playing games. This is America, the land of the gods. And we will find a God of our choice. And as Joshua rightly said, you can choose which God you want to serve, whether it be the gods on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the true God. May this be our resolve this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.